It is a great pleasure to welcome to this session at Wide-Moat Investing Summit 2020, Todd Wenning, Senior Investment Analyst at Ensemble Capital. Before joining Ensemble, Todd was an analyst at Johnson Investment Counsel, where he worked on the firm's small and mid-cap strategy. Prior to that, Todd was a sell-side analyst at Morningstar, where he led Morningstar's equity stewardship methodology and covered companies in the basic materials, industrials, and consumer sectors. Todd has a BA in history from St. Joseph's University in Philadelphia, as well as the CFA designation. Here at MOI Global, we always appreciate the insights and ideas shared by the team at Ensemble Capital. Truly grateful to have this opportunity, Todd, to speak with you and get your thesis on the idea you're about to present. So I'm going to turn it to you, and I'll be back for the Q&A session at the end. Please go ahead.
Great. Thanks so much, John. I appreciate it. I've been a fan of MOI for a long time, and this is a real treat to be able to present to you and to your followers as well. Today, I'm going to be presenting on Masimo, ticker MASI. But before we get into that, just want to give a brief overview of our firm. Ensemble Capital Management's been around since 1997. We're based in the San Francisco Bay Area. At the end of the first quarter, we had $880 million of AUM, primarily institutional and high net worth private wealth. Our firm also has separately managed accounts and the Ensemble Fund, as investment vehicles for our equity strategy, which was about $650 million in AUM at the end of the first quarter. Our portfolio in the equity strategy is primarily 15 to 30 companies. We're fairly concentrated. We tend to be more around 20 is our kind of our happy place, where we feel like we get the benefits of diversification, but also the opportunity for alpha generation. Our investment philosophy, the best way to kind of pitch it in a few seconds is that we focus on three major categories: moat, management, and forecastability. This is a wide moat conference, so I don't have to give you guys a rundown on what moats are, but I will point out just one piece of that pie, which is our focus on idiosyncratic businesses. So these, not all of our firms are idiosyncratic in nature, but we do like to find opportunities where you have a company that kind of straddles two sectors, sector specialists miss some things perhaps in the middle of those two circles, giving us an opportunity for alpha generation. And we think Masimo falls into that bucket. And I'll explain why in just a moment. So before we get started into Masimo, which is a healthcare company, I wanted to give a rundown of how we think about healthcare investing. Obviously, it's a great sector for returns over the past 10, 20, 30 years. There's been a lot of opportunity for great moats in that space. One of the things that we're concerned about, however, is what this chart illustrates, and that the United States healthcare system is off the tracks in terms of where it is versus the rest of the world. We spend more and get less return for our investment. We should be closer to some of the best countries in the world in terms of healthcare outcomes, but we're not. And so we don't want to be on the wrong side of that. We think eventually what you'll have is some push towards the rest of the world, whether that's through government intervention or private innovation or a mix of both. And so we want to focus on healthcare firms that push us in that direction. So better outcomes, lower costs to the system. And we own two healthcare companies in our portfolio that we think fit that mold, Masimo and Intuitive Surgical. So why Masimo? Honestly, when I first looked at the company, I thought it might be the 90s skater apparel company. Phonetically sounds the same, but it's a completely different company. And so when I dug into the mission statement, it struck me right away that this company was one to look at because it was completely aligned with our strategy in healthcare, which is improving patient outcomes and reducing the cost of care. Doesn't get much better than that in terms of our interest in healthcare stocks. And what struck me also was that this company has a very different culture You can see its guiding principles from its website. Things like make each day as fun as possible, thrive on fascination, not on greed and power. These are things that you might hear at a tech company, not so much a healthcare company in the traditional sense. So Massimo is very intrinsically motivated versus extrinsically motivated, and I'll get into that in a moment. But a key insight we developed, we believe, is that Massimo is a technology company that's focused on healthcare, not a healthcare company that uses technology. So in this respect, Massimo is typically covered by healthcare analysts, and we think there's also a technology vibe that comes along with Massimo that might be underestimated by the market. So I want to spend most of the time of my presentation talking about Massimo's future, but I think the history is important as well. The firm was founded in 1989 by two engineers, the current CEO and chairman, Joe Chiani and Mohammed Diab. And the problem they were trying to solve was the pulse oximeters, the sort of clip-on tools that are put on patients' fingers while they're in the hospital or doctor's office, were just not great at the time. They were unreliable and the outcomes were terrible. And so as the quote on the slide shows, Chiani kept asking, why are people going into hospitals and not coming out? Very basic first principles question. And medical errors are a big problem in the United States and still are. But he wanted to help solve the problem of how to get accurate readings from pulse oximeters, and especially in moments of motion and low perfusion, which is low blood flow. These are particularly important in cases like in the ER, the OR, ICU, NICU, where the patient may not be holding still. The alternative for non-invasive solution like a pulse oximeter is drawing blood from the patient while they're moving, which is not a good outcome or process for anyone involved. So Massimo was trying to solve that problem. And what they came up with was a process called signal extraction technology, which allowed highly accurate results from patients in motion and low perfusion. And you can see on the left a sample of the sensor today, which goes around the top of a finger, or in the case of an infant, it wraps around the foot. And the technology is based on something called transmission spectroscopy. I am not an electrical engineer, but from what I understand, it's the shining of light, the measuring of outcomes through the transmission of light. I might have botched that for all you engineers out there, but basically what the sensor does is it shoots an LED light through the top of the finger to a photoreceptor on the other side, and it goes through your bloodstream, especially your radial arteries, and it can pick up the oxygen levels of your bloodstream very accurately, whether you're in motion or not in motion. It's a very similar philosophy or approach as your Apple Watch or your Fitbit, but it's a different type of spectroscopy. Massimo uses transmission spectroscopy, which goes through your finger, whereas your reflective spectroscopy is what's used in Apple Watch and the Fitbit. And that's, as you know, if you own one, the light just has a little bit of U shape. It goes right under your wrist. You can't get medical grade sensor readings from the wrist because you can't shine a light through that thick of a body part. You have bone and you can't get the accurate readings, especially when the patient is in motion. So speaking of moat, the SET system is a wide moat, if I've ever seen one. It is a razor and blade business model. If you've been to a hospital yourself or with someone else that you care for, you know that what happens is you're in a hospital bed and you have a monitor, and there's a bunch of wires typically that come out of those monitors. And what Massimo does is they either sell you the monitor or they put their technology boards in an OEM's monitor. And between their own monitors and the technology boards that they've put into other monitors, or sometimes they're called boxes, they have over 1.7 million units around the world. They are becoming extremely strong in that space. And we'll talk about their market share in just a moment. But you can see that they've partnered with some fantastic businesses in healthcare space. One of the things that we really like about this segment of the market is that it's such a long product cycle. Monitors are typically replaced every 10 years, and the Masimo's sensors contracts are 5 to 7 years in length. And what's really interesting is that they get 98% renewal rate for their own contracts when they come up for renegotiation, and then they win half of their competitors' renewals, typically. This is despite a 30 to 40% premium on price. So they're really, and we'll talk about their outcomes in a minute and their advantage, but there's a reason why they can charge that much. There's two types of sensors. One is disposable and one is reusable. The disposables are used on a single patient, and that's about 80% of the mix. They cost about $8 to $10 on average. And so on average, each socket that these sensors are plugged into uses about 50 sensors a year. So each monitor that a sensor is plugged into generates about $400 to $500 per year. Reusable is about 20% of the mix. They're good for about 6 months and they cost $150. So they generate roughly $300 per year in revenue. 90% of the US market is disposable, and the opposite is true in Europe. Europe has started to change due to COVID, however, and we'll see if that trend continues. So the current revenue mix is 85% SET, 10% Rainbow, and 5% other. And Rainbow is effectively a upgraded version of the SET that uses the same technology, but gets different additional vitals. So it gets your hemoglobin, which is important for blood transfusion decisions for anesthesiologists, carbon monoxide, and acoustic respiration rate. And they sell for about $25 per sensor versus $8 to $10 for normal SET. I won't go into all the other products, but some of them are NomoLine, SedLine, and O3. They measure things like brain function, tissue, oxygen, saturation, and carbon dioxide. The geographic mix is about 85% US, 20% EMEA, 9% APAC, and rest of America's 3%. So you might be asking yourself, why hasn't anyone responded to this? And it's a question that we asked ourselves. You can see how long the product cycle is. Even with Masimo's superior technology, it took them a long time to eat away at the leader's market share, and that's Nellcor. Nellcor was at one time owned by Covidien, and eventually it was acquired by Medtronic, and it was primarily used for cash flow for those businesses. They were not reinvesting enough in their product, even though they had a large market share, that they could not keep up with Masimo's technology. And one of the key factors of Masimo's advantage is their low false alarm rate. You can see on the bottom right that the competing Nellcor product has a false alarm rate of 28% compared to the Masimo SET of 5%. And notably, Masimo has taken that from 5% to 1.5% since this was published. And that may not sound like a huge difference, but let's think about it in terms of context. If you're a nurse and you have patients on your floor, if you have a 1 in 4 chance or 1 in 3 chance of a false alarm, you're going to get false alarm fatigue. You know, you hear alarms going off, they start to drive you crazy after a while. You're not really sure if it's serious or not. You might call in a rapid response team to come take care of a false alarm or transfer someone to ICU unnecessarily. Very expensive, very time inefficient, not a great outcome. Now compare that to Masimo, which, you know, 5% false alarm rate, you're looking at 1 in 20 times where, you know, they have a false alarm. And if you take it down to 1.5, that goes from 1 of every 20 to 1 of every 65, I think. That's a huge difference for nurses. And it's one of the reasons that the medical professionals really love Masimo and trust their products. And I think that will be a huge opportunity for them to expand into other parts of the hospital and medical field, which we'll talk a little bit about in a minute. We actually asked the CEO, Joe Chiani, at Investor Day, you know, when is someone going to come back and try to compete with you? And he said, I've been asking myself that question for 20 years and no one's done it. So Masimo has just found a very strong market that no one else is willing to compete with them on. In fact, you know, they had a couple of high profile patent disputes with one with Medtronic and one with Philips in the past 10 years, and they won both of them. And Philips went so far as to give them a cash settlement. And they said, you know what, we want you to be our partner because Philips has about 50% of the OEM monitor base. And they said, we want your sensors to help sell our monitors to hospitals. And so now they basically just conceded to Masimo that you guys are winning this business. So why bother competing? So the big opportunities here at Masimo seem to be changing every day. In fact, they released two new products last week that were not even discussed when this product came out. So there is a lot happening. One of the things that we look for in companies is the potential for what we call unpredictable value creation. And what we mean by that is companies with very strong intangible assets and vibrant cultures tend to be particularly good at developing new products and services that you couldn't have fathomed when you first analyzed the business. You think about, you know, how you would have modeled Amazon versus today, or how you would have modeled Amazon 1997 versus today. It's a very different business. I know it's a kind of a well-worn example, but I think that's a good one to think about. One of the opportunities that we see is general floor continuous monitoring penetration. So if you're in a US hospital bed and you're in an ICU or a NICU or a OR setting, you are continuously monitored from the time that you go into the operating room to the time that you leave and get dismissed back to general care. But the general floor does not, by and large, use continuous monitoring. If you've been on the general care floor or been with someone, you know how it works. They come in, the nurse comes in every couple hours, checks your vitals, writes them down, maybe puts them into a computer. There's huge error potential in that, and there's gaps in monitoring that can lead to crashes. And, you know, hospitals, this seems like a win-win for everyone, but, you know, hospitals have been slow to adopt for a couple of reasons. You know, one is just inertia on the floor. It's, you know, nurses get used to a certain process, you know, and then they don't have time to change. You know, nurses are incredible and they're busy all the time. And, you know, to learn a new system might be a little challenging. On the other hand, you know, on the budget standpoint, you have hospitals, you know, looking at this from a dollars and cents perspective, and, you know, it costs about $800 to $2,000 per monitor. And you multiply that times 100 general care floor beds, and it gets expensive. And unless there's a real reason for the change, they're not going to make that investment. But really, I mean, we're seeing this accelerate in with COVID. Hospitals are seeing the potential for using continuous monitoring as, you know, almost like a marketing expense, kind of like hospitals did with Intuitive Surgical's surgical robots, to say, hey, we are state of the art. And, you know, patients are becoming increasingly more interested in being continuously monitored. You know, we have our Apple Watches, we have our Fitbits, you know, we have our at-home pulse oximeters. You know, we want to know what's going on inside of our bodies. And it seems like it's a thing that more hospitals will be willing to do. One of the really big opportunities that we think Masimo has in front of it is SafetyNet. Now, SafetyNet was first piloted in 2007. And it's a way for medical professionals to continuously monitor a group of patients from a central nurse's station. You can see on the left that there's a nurse at a nurse's station monitoring patients. They have green, yellow, red colors on them. And so it's a great solution because it allows medical professionals to focus on the patients who need immediate care and let the people who don't need immediate care get some rest, knowing that they're still monitored. And, you know, this is such a huge opportunity for hospitals to, again, save money and give nurses more time to focus on the critical patients. We expect, you know, like with COVID, you know, nurses, their workload is so much that, you know, this is an opportunity for them to be able to monitor without being close to patients, without being, you know, have close physical proximity. And this lowers the risk of infections and virus transfers in the hospital setting and saves hospitals PPE expenses. Now, on top of this platform, Masimo has been adding new products, which makes us extremely interested. The first, which may or may not be a huge product, well, that's to be determined, but their first application was Opioid Safety Net. And this is an example of how quickly and powerfully Masimo can create new and useful products for its medical professional customers. These charts show the opioid crisis in the US. It's pretty terrible. Thankfully, it's gotten a little better, but it's still very, very bad. One of the sad side effects of opioids is that whether it's done through prescription or illicit manner, your lung function can deteriorate quickly overnight. And so the FDA issued an innovation challenge to healthcare companies to come up with some solutions to help address this crisis in America. And Masimo was one of the eight companies selected by the FDA to address this issue. And what they came up with was a tetherless version of their sensors. So it's just worn on the wrist like a Apple Watch. And there's a connector that puts the sensor, the medical grade sensor, on your finger, like if you were in the hospital. But instead of being attached to a monitor, you're attached to your cell phone. And the cell phone will ping back your vitals to a central nurses station where they can monitor you. And if you do crash, it'll send a alert to your doctor, to your caregiver, to a family member, and help you get the care that you need right away. Sorry about that. So this is a great solution for doctors who are prescribing maybe high doses of opioids to their patients and were concerned about their safety overnight. This product was on the cusp of getting FDA approval. Then COVID hit and it's been pushed back, and you know, we'll see how quickly it can move. But to that point, the Masimo Safety Net at home has been just a tremendous story here with the COVID crisis. I've heard the CEO, Joe Kiani, say, in many ways, Masimo was built for this moment. So hospitals are, and when you have a spike in cases and hospitalizations, you run out of beds. And so you have to start triaging patients. You might have to open up a field hospital. And there's only so many monitors. Remember how we talked earlier about how, you know, hospitals look at the monitor expense and go, we don't want to have a bunch of these sitting in storage. We need to be using them. But there's sometimes not enough to go around. And so what Masimo did is it took its opioid product and it worked with two pilot hospitals to develop Masimo Safety Net, which basically allows them to be anywhere, be monitored. So it could be at a field hospital, it could be at home. So what's the business opportunity here for us is where you think about the sensors before having to be tied to hospital monitors, now they can be tied to mobile phones, which is obviously a much larger installed base than hospital monitors. And it gives hospitals an opportunity to more effectively and carefully triage patients. They can, if you come in with maybe mild COVID symptoms, they could send you home with a safety net, and you could be monitored for up to 8 days with this product. And it's $150, which is just remarkable price. And it's a win-win product. Again, Masimo tends to create win-win-win products for everyone. You know, patients, if they want to go home and they're not critical, they can be monitored. And if they crash overnight or if their symptoms worsen, they can be called back to the hospital. It's allowed nurses and doctors to focus on the most at-need patients. And hospitals can keep people out of the hospital who don't need to be there. And what's really remarkable about Safety Net, Masimo Safety Net, the at-home, is the nurses can monitor between 50 and 70 patients at a time from a remote location. And these nurses don't necessarily have to be in a hospital. It's an extremely scalable model because it's all cloud-based. There are over 5 million nurses in the U.S. of various certifications. And so if you assume that a nurse can can cover about 60 patients at a time. If they're monitoring 100,000 patients at a given time, that would mean about 1,700 nurses out of the 5 million would need to be dedicated to SafetyNet. What's remarkable about this is that this came into being in a matter of weeks. The FDA approved this for emergency use just after a few weeks. And it tells you how important the connection between Masimo and hospitals are. They have such strong respect for each other that Masimo was working 24/7 with hospitals to get this product out the door and get it, because it was really truly an emergency in March and we needed to get these sensors out. As of May 5th, the latest update that was publicly disclosed, Masimo had 81 hospitals using SafetyNet and another 785 in the pipeline. In just the last 3 weeks of April, this product was only launched on April 10th, I believe, they sold 10,000 kits. So there is a strong case for hospitals wanting this product. And we think beyond COVID, there's a huge opportunity for this to be used for situations where you have patients with chronic illnesses, which is sadly 6 out of 10 American adults have at least one chronic illness. And so you have frequently patients with chronic illnesses like COPD or congestive heart failure will go to the emergency room because they feel pain, they can't breathe, they're worried, but the hospital may not have a bed or they're not ill enough to be admitted. And hospitals are on the hook for patient readmissions within 30 days of discharge for certain conditions. And so it strikes us that this is a huge opportunity for hospitals to get used to the form factor during COVID and then use it to monitor patients post-discharge for a couple weeks to make sure they don't need to come back to the hospital. Masimo's management is very impressive. We consider the co-founder, chairman, CEO, Joe Kiani, to be a visionary leader. We think about CEOs in two buckets. One is visionary, one is optimizer. Optimizers are your classic outsiders. They move numbers around. They manage the business in a very, very thoughtful, very kind of rational way to extract value for and create value for shareholders. And what visionaries do is they inspire, they grow, they foster wonderful cultures. And we think from our time speaking with Masimo employees and visiting campus, we think there's a real owner's mentality, an owner's pedigree at Masimo. You know, they have a great track record of innovation as the top little graphic shows. And they've hired people who are, again, intrinsically motivated to solve tough and important problems in healthcare. And it's a very different approach to healthcare than you'll see in maybe traditional med tech. And besides, we speak of Kiani as a visionary, but he also has a little bit of outsider in him, an optimizer, in that we were encouraged to see that in 2012, they paid a special dividend ahead of the 2013 tax change, which tells us that they're thinking about shareholders. It's not just we're a byproduct of the business. They are thinking of us when they make capital allocation decisions. So on valuation, anytime I've mentioned Masimo to another investor, they'll pull it up on their Bloomberg, take one look at the price to earnings ratio, and go, "Wow, that is expensive." And so we think you have to think about Masimo in two parts, the existing business and the option value. When we first invested in Masimo, we were modeling just what we showed earlier, the 85% set, the 10% rainbow, and the 5% other. And we were already impressed by that. Management is guiding to 8 to 10% product growth, and they tend to be very conservative about that, and they've hinted that this could come up. So we're assuming 11% annualized product growth. And this is, again, based on the existing business. And if you think they achieve their gross margin target of 70%, they're pretty close now, and 30% operating margins, we think Masimo is worth about $180 per share right now, which, against the PE, forward PE, that's 30 times. That doesn't seem very expensive, especially when you consider the type of business that it is, the environment that we're in, The history of Massimo has traded between 20 and 40, so it doesn't really strike us as that expensive. And so we have also, as we've learned more about the business and we've seen how quickly they can create useful products with huge opportunity, we have thought about it in the business in more of two parts, so the legacy and the option value. So we address option value in two ways. So first, when we find companies that we think have significant optionality, again, we call it unpredictable value creation, we give it a separate category when it comes to portfolio weighting. For these companies, we'll own a larger position, all else equal, than a, quote, normal company with the same discount to fair value. And while we can't exactly quantify the value of this optionality, we know it has value, and we think ignoring that fact seems to be extremely short-sighted. Again, when you have an innovation culture with a history of delivering winning products, you have to take that into account. And we think, frankly, that the patient safety net could be a very huge business if it can be transferred from COVID to other applications post-COVID. And second, when we think we have a good enough understanding of the unit economics and the addressable market for a new product, we will explicitly model it. So for example, with Massimo Safety Net, we know Massimo's manufacturing capacity, we know the demand for it, we know how much has already started selling. And so we started putting that into a model and we've come up with a value for it. And you know, we see a great moat trend here with Massimo. Our calculations are ROIC of about 30% last year, and we think it will grow to about 50% in a couple of years. So we are very optimistic about the opportunity for Massimo in the next few years. And with that, some Q&A.
Well, Todd, thank you so much for this very interesting presentation. Certainly a company to add to one's watch list at the very least. I'd be curious if you could elaborate a little bit on capital allocation and where you would put the priorities going forward.
It's a great question. With any company that's had nothing but really organic growth for a long time, you start to wonder when M&A starts. And we started seeing that with Massimo. One of the concerns we had was, are they going to diversify the business, to use that phrase, just kind of buy other businesses to reduce their volatility in their underlying business, which is not that volatile to begin with. And so when they first made an investment in the German firm TNI, we were a little confused because they produce high flow nasal cannula ventilators. And these ventilators use warm, humid air from the room, whether you're at home or in the hospital, and they infuse it with oxygen to help you breathe. And so you don't need to reduce the need of a traditional ventilator, which, as we're learning through COVID, unfortunately, can cause long-term damage. But at the time, we were a little confused about why they were doing this. And one kind of key advantage that I didn't touch on with Massimo is that they produce tens of millions of super accurate medical grade sensors every year. And so they have this advantage in producing a lot of sensors and medical devices, small medical devices in a short period of time. And so one of their products, has a cannula attached to the nose that measures the gas that comes out of your nose. And this goes the other way. So it's a way for them to leverage their manufacturing of cannulas. They have a great opportunity to expand TNI's products in the US and in Europe through their manufacturing. So we are very pleased with their decision to fully acquire TNI in March. And so they do generate a ton of free cash flow. They have not been super aggressive in terms of buybacks. I mentioned earlier the special dividend. I don't think they're going to be paying a dividend anytime soon. I don't really want them to. And I think they will be looking more for bolt-on acquisitions at this point. I don't think they will be pushing too aggressively to diversify the business or start paying a dividend. They are a company with a mission. And I think if they started paying a dividend or try to slow down the business a little bit, I think that would be a mistake. And you know, we don't have that impression. In fact, we are really encouraged by the fact that despite this huge advantage they have in sensors and the potential there, you know, that they are not taking their foot off the gas. They are moving, they're pressing their advantage in this moment of COVID, where perhaps the opportunity to get great useful technology into hospitals as hospitals rethink how they work is a huge advantage for them. They have the hospital's trust. You know, if you were an upstart med tech company trying to win a hospital business, that's really, really tough. But Masimo's already in the hospitals. They've been there for 20 years. They have reputation intact. And so if they can create the innovation internally, they can sell to those businesses, the hospitals very, very easily. Or at least not as hard as it would be for a startup, right? So we are very happy with the way management's allocated capital.
What risk would be top of mind for you with regards to the long-term thesis here? Or to put it differently, if you were to do a pre-mortem, what would that look like?
Yeah, it's a good question. And we've thought about that. You know, I think, you know, even if you were to come up with a new, easier to use technology to take vitals, whether it's like a patch or something like that, you know, I don't think it would be a very easy sell overnight. I think it would take time. Again, it depends on, I guess, who's making the product. And so, you know, that's one thing we're keeping an eye on, is just advancing technology. And we're take comfort in the fact that Masimo has continued to push innovation. So we're not quite as concerned about that as if they were taking the foot off the gas and kind of coasting on their free cash flow. And so we're okay with that risk at the moment. I think, to me, the more near-term risk would be if they broke from their more recent indications for M&A strategy and made a big acquisition that just didn't make sense. I mean, we've all seen businesses do that, where they have a great core business and think, well, we'll just add this other business. Especially with the very unique corporate culture at Masimo, you know, acquiring another medical device company or med tech company might be a challenge to integrate. And so that would be one thing we would be concerned about.
How do you think about Masimo's pricing power?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, as I mentioned during the presentation, they have a 30 to 40% premium on their sensors and versus the next leading sensor. So they are able to win market share even at higher price point. And the other thing that they're doing is they're adding new sensors to the mix. So, you know, they have the installed base of sensors. Many of the sensors of the technology boards in the monitors. So a lot of that technology is already on the board, and all hospitals have to do is turn it on. So, for example, if Philips sells a hospital a new monitor with a Masimo board inside of it to use Masimo sensors for the set, they also have Rainbow already programmed into that board. And so then all the Masimo salesperson has to do is encourage the hospital to turn on that capability, and now the sensors go from $8 to $10 to $25, which is a big difference. And so we're quite comfortable with the pricing power. And in fact, you know, we were talking earlier about in our team about, you know, the what would be the risk to the safety net, the Masimo safety net, the $150 kit that can be taken home to provide continuous monitoring. And it's really hard to imagine that a startup could come in at a lower price point than $150 and provide high level medical grade sensors that the nurses trust. I mean, think about I mean, we talked earlier about, you know, the false alarm rate and what that would do to a nurse who has to hear alarms all day. Imagine if a doctor sent you home with a mild case of COVID, let's say, and you had, you know, 40% chance of a false alarm. You know, you're going to, if the doctor calls and tells you to come in or sends an ambulance to you or something, that would be very traumatic. And so from the patient, from the hospital, from the medical professional standpoint, why take the risk with a sensor that does not have MASA reputation? And so we think there's a huge opportunity for them because of that trust and proof of a concept that they've been able to deliver for well over a decade.
How do you think about the non-US market opportunity here?
Yeah, so I think I said, you know, EMEA is about 30%. Europe has traditionally used reusable pulse oximeters. So those are like the clip-ons that you have when you go to your general practitioner. They say, oh, you have a 97 pulse ox, that's good, or whatever it might be. And so that's reused, you know, for every patient that comes in for 6 months. And the margin profile of the disposables versus reusable are very similar, but the disposables generates more revenue. I think of $400 to $500 versus $300 per year. And the opportunity that we're seeing in Europe is because of COVID, you have Europe medical professionals saying, we're not gonna use reusables for obvious reasons. We're gonna go with the disposables. Time will tell if that sticks post-COVID, but for now that mix has moved more towards disposable. So there's an opportunity from a revenue standpoint to increase from Europe. China is still a very small part of the business. It's really hard to make a growth case there beyond the obvious, you know, if they get penetration, if they can prove proof of concept and so on. But, you know, they are winning over academics, clinicians, medical professionals, and have been for a long time. So, you know, word gets around. You know, in fact, when they had the Masimo Safety Net webinar, when it first came out in April, I believe they said, you know, there were dozens, multiple dozens of countries listening to the call. So I mean, you think about like the global application of this, you know, you don't need a safety net. You don't need to have hospital monitors, which can be very expensive. And, you know, what do you do with them when you're done? Now you can tie it to a mobile phone. And so you can use that any setting, anywhere, as long as you have cell phone service and a good battery charge. So that really opens the door for opportunities. Now, so far, the demand for safety net has been primarily in the US, and part of that is there's added cost overseas. The tech might not be the same, but that's a huge opportunity for them as well as international expansion and application of safety net.
How did you discover the idea, and can you talk a little bit more broadly about your idea generation process?
Yeah, so most of the time we do not screen for stocks. We will hear about ideas through our own research, maybe from another investor, maybe read a write-up from somebody, maybe an idea we heard here on MOI. And so, you know, we keep an open mind to discovering ideas. You know, I think I mentioned earlier that I would see Masimo every so often when I would just run a screen to see if I'm missing something perhaps. And, you know, for some reason, I always thought it was the skater apparel company from the 90s because it sounds the same phonetically. And so I dug into it. I said, I'll take a look at it and came across this one. And I realized pretty quickly that it was not an apparel company. But, you know, honestly, it was one of those situations where you have pattern recognition that you gain over the years of experience. And it just started checking off a lot of boxes really quickly. And so momentum built in the research process. And, you know, we just found a lot that we liked and it fit our strategy very, very well.
Great. Well, Todd, at this point, I would just encourage our members listening to feel free to follow up with you either directly or to contact us, and we'll be happy to facilitate an introduction. Thank you so much for taking the time to be here and share your thesis with fellow members. We truly appreciate it.
Of course. It's been a pleasure.
Goodbye for now.
Thanks.